DW Africa Link.
Zimbabwe is experiencing a severe crisis in its health sector.
As a citizen, I'm really concerned with the shortage of nurses, because here in Zimbabwe, the majority of us rely on public health because we do not have medical cover. So when you hear that there's a shortage, obviously you are worried to say, should you fall sick, will you be able to be attended to? And furthermore, if there are fewer nurses or healthcare workers in the nursing industry, it means when you get there, you are faced with overworked nurses.
There is an estimated shortage of 14,000 health workers in the country. This shortage has left hospitals and clinics critically understaffed, especially in rural regions, leading to longer patient wait times and a major decline in the quality and accessibility of medical care. So what is driving this crisis, and what's the solution? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Economic hardship, low payment, and challenging working conditions have driven thousands of skilled doctors, nurses, and pharmacists out of Zimbabwe. They go to countries like the United Kingdom, Australia, Ireland, and Canada for much better pay and conditions. Now, let me give you a clear picture of the situation with some figures. Between 2019 and 2022, more than 8,000 Zimbabwean healthcare professionals received work visas to the UK, making Zimbabwe one of the top sources of skilled medical labour for international health systems. By mid-2024, almost 36,000 Zimbabweans took up UK work visas, most in healthcare roles. I hope you weren't bored with so many figures. But the point is, the brain drain is real. For more on this, let's bring in Chamunora Mashoko, Global Health Advocate with the Research Advocacy and Counseling Trust, REACT for short. I also have Privilege Mushanri, DW correspondent in Harare, Zimbabwe. Welcome both of you to Africa Link. So Zimbabwe is facing a shortage of 14,000 health workers. Privilege, you are our correspondent on the ground. What impact is that having on human lives?
Thank you, Eddie. The major impact that this shortage is having on healthcare is that it basically means that when patients go to the hospital, the hospitals, the clinics, they are understaffed. And you have an overwhelming number of patients that are being catered for by a limited staff. So at the end of the day, there is burnout, and the patients do not receive the proper care that they are supposed to receive from the health personnel. So at the end of the day, you also find that for nurses, it is not only the general nurses that you find in hospitals and the clinics. There are different specialties, because you look at a nurse maybe who would have specialized in oncology, someone who would have specialized in different fields who are supposed to be assisting. But the specialized ones are then the ones that are looking for prospects elsewhere. So at the end of the day, the local hospitals and the clinics now are lacking quite a number of these skills. So as you may have heard from one of the speakers that we spoke to, you will find that the Zimbabwe Nurses Association is reporting that in the clinics, you will find a clinic that saves maybe a catchment area of more than 8,000 people, there are only two nurses. And these nurses, they have to offer services to such a number of people. And this is mostly probably in your rural areas and in high-density suburbs. So it is a very difficult situation. When these patients go there, they spend long hours and with critical ailments that needs urgent attention. So this is the scenario. if you come to the capital in Harare, the Harare City Council, the City Health Department, they even report that some of the clinics now, they being served probably by a qualified nurse, one qualified nurse, where they need probably in the region of five or more on a day. So this is the situation that is obtaining.
Right. Thank you very much for painting that picture for us. Not a beautiful picture at all, considering that in such situations, it is the ordinary Zimbabweans that are seeking care who will be suffering. I'm going to come to you, Chamunowa. I just really want to understand what really is driving this shortage of health workers in Zimbabwe.
Oh, thank you so much, Africa Link, for having me on this discussion. It is a critical discussion, particularly for Zimbabwe at this juncture. So as already have been painted by Privilege, the situation is kind of dire because most health workers are leaving Zimbabwe for greener pastures. That is going to receiving countries like the United Kingdom, the United States of America, as well as Australia and other neighboring countries, largely because our economy, though there've been progress economically, still this has not manifested in the pockets, especially of workers in the health sector, because as you know, more than 50% of our health funding comes from foreign aid. It's externally funded. So I think this year in January, there was a funding cut, a massive funding cut also from the US. While this has been having a massive impact on healthcare, we have always had a challenge with regards to establishment at health centers, has already been alluded to by Privilege, whereby a catchment area of sometimes 10,000 or so is served by less than two nurses. This brings in a pressure on nurses, which also result in some nurses actually resulting in them resigning as a result of the working environment that is not conducive to their expectations. So as a result, so I would say about three things, meaning the pressure is as a result of nurses leaving the country for greener pastures, also a struggling economy whereby our salaries are not as handsome as they used to be maybe 7-8 years ago. The government has also been struggling with regards to raising salaries for healthcare workers, and as a result they are leaving. In terms of if we were to look at it from another viewpoint, it actually creates employment. That is, if we were training more healthcare workers to fill in the vacancies that are being left vacant, for example, these 14,000 vacant posts that we are talking about.
I don't really want to do topics and point fingers at people, right? But why did the government allow Zimbabwe to get here in the first place? What did they do wrong?
I think first and foremost is obviously the demands and the needs that the healthcare staff were actually putting across, especially 3-4 years back when they were demanding for increased salaries. That's number one. That's the first thing. And then number two, especially we were left exposed during COVID when we could not find the right PPE for staff to protect themselves from exposure to infections. That also drove some care workers out of the service because they were also scared that they may get infected. So there's that's one area. And then another area that the government could do, and which I think is trying, it's with regards to training. Training more healthcare workers to replace those that are leaving. And also to, as usual, the government has always made use of assistance, like, for example, nurse aides and ETC, because believe you me, because of the nature of our current economic status, the government can do very little to stop healthcare workers leaving the country.
Privilege, let me get back to you. I'm just wondering the kind of pressure that is on the nurses and the doctors, the very few nurses and doctors that have to really carry the burden of the health sector? You've been speaking to some of them. What have they been saying?
The nurses and the nurses that are available and those that are still working, it's obviously most of them, they speak of fatigue. They speak of stress because they are working in an environment where one is faced with low pay and they want to meet expenses at their home. And then at the same time, you are going to a hospital which is under-equipped in terms of equipment, in terms of sundries, in terms of medicines. So at the end of the day, when they are walking in the corridors of these hospitals, when patients come, they are looking up to them for remedies and they are looking up to them for assistance. So what then happens is patients will vent their anger on nurses and say that they are not doing enough to help them. Yet you are facing a person who is also under stress because they are lowly paid, and at the same time, the things that they are supposed to use to help those patients are not adequate. This has driven most then health workers to say, you know what, I would rather leave the industry here and go and offer my service elsewhere in the world.
And Privilege, tell us more about this, because we understand that there was a recruitment plan, or there is a recruitment plan in the health sector. Is it visible yet in hospitals and clinics? How is that going?
Hearing from the ministry, they have put forward plans for recruitment. They have put forward plans to retain those that are still working. But if you go around in the hospitals, it's a trickle. To train a nurse, it takes a period in the region of 2 years plus, you know, to have a nurse adequately trained to be deployed into a hospital. And so you find that some, of course, you have a few that are being replenished, but from the strategic plans that the ministry is saying recently when they were talking about replenishing the number of nurses that are leaving, 14,000 is a big number, and that can't be done overnight. So at the end of the day, for you to really see the change in the hospitals, it is going to take a little bit of time. And also, it depends on how the trainings are being done. We have been hearing the ministry trying to lower the entry requirements for nurses in the nursing schools. But that has also attracted criticism to say that you want to lower the bar in terms of the qualifications that are needed for one to train as a nurse. It will then reflect badly on Zimbabwe when you look at maybe the region and the global standards, because at the end of the day, that particular nurse you are lowering the bar just for you to get numbers. But in terms of the quality of the nurses then that you get at the end of the day, it's a bit questionable.
Right. And it's a bit similar to what you were saying, Chamunowa, in terms of how the situation in Zimbabwe is affecting the country's ability to deliver essential health services and meet universal health coverage targets, isn't it?
Oh, yes. That has been the campaign for quite some time now, meeting the universal health coverage. But I think it remains a pipe dream for as long as we do not have qualified health service providers in the health centers that our community members visit for services. So in order for us to talk about universal health coverage, first and foremost, we need to make sure that we've got enough qualified staff on the ground in these health centers. And secondly, we've got a health system that is sustainable. Like I already alluded to that, to a larger extent, we've been depending largely on foreign aid. For instance, when Privilege mentioned about the impact of these shortages in some health centers, we used to have a situation whereby some nurses were supported by a certain donor while others were being supported by the government. And that also meant lower salaries for others and competitive salary for those that were serving NGOs or non-governmental organizations. That also brought in a bit of frustrations among other clinics. And I hope the listeners and even those who support us as external funders will also have to do this equitably, because I think at the end of the day, this also has a serious bearing.
Thank you very much for that. Privilege, because of how serious this is, I'm just wondering how people are generally reacting. Is there protests? How are they trying to get the government's attention to deal with the crisis?
In terms of how people show their displeasure, this is at a very micro level. You go into a hospital, the only thing that they can do is to vent on the health worker, probably, who is saving them. Some they can take to social media. But to openly protest, that is a very difficult, especially for ordinary people. Yes, they can raise the issues. They can raise the issues with the authorities. But it is very difficult to really openly protest against any of these things, especially in an environment like Zimbabwe.
What do you mean by that? You're saying that if people are not happy with the health system, that people cannot just go out there and protest to let a government know how worried or concerned they are?
Zimbabwe is a different terrain. It has been increasingly difficult to assemble. Yes, of course, it's something that is guaranteed in our constitution that you can peacefully demonstrate, you can petition the government, but most of the times, protesting or demonstrating or even petitioning the government, you can speak, but know that at the end of the day, your freedom after speaking is not guaranteed.
Okay. Well, thanks for drawing our attention to that, which makes the situation even more difficult. Also, talking about a difficult situation, we mainly have been talking about what's happening in urban areas like the big cities and all, and that's very challenging. I'm just wondering how rural areas are also dealing with this challenge.
In the rural areas, it's difficult because, one, people have to travel long distances for any service. And then when you get there, you get to a health center that is served probably by one nurse and junior nurses or nurse aides. So at the end of the day, this health center serves different things. You have a maternal care, you have people with all sorts of ailments coming to the same center. So you can imagine the pressure that one health center can have. We speak of a catchment area of 8,000 to 10,000, these are the places that you mostly find such a scenario. So at the end of the day, there is also difficulties for mothers who want to give birth. Mothers probably will go for antenatal care with their children. And then you have people who are going maybe to collect drugs for non-communicable diseases. So at the end of the day, it's one health center that can be serving a large area. As things improve, as more resources are poured into health, they want to make sure that primary care is given at a lower level so that there is the burden at the big hospitals. Instead of people flocking to the major referral hospitals before they go for primary care at the polyclinics or at the rural clinics. That's what they want to do.
Right. Thank you very much, Privilege, for that. And Chamunowa, I don't love to just keep talking about the problems and the problems. We need to find a way forward, right? Zimbabwe needs to find a way forward. What is that way forward? What is urgently needed now, right? And what else needs to be done to make it a thing of the past in the near future?
So I think urgently what is needed is for the government of Zimbabwe and the Zimbabwe Nurses Association to come to an agreement and agree on increased salaries. That one is a non-negotiable for us to directly impact on the loss that we're experiencing. And then secondly, I think viewing it from a positive viewpoint, I think having our workforce being liked in other countries can be an advantage. That is, if we create a system whereby Zimbabwe as the country that is providing healthcare workers can actually agree with the UK, Australia, or the US to train nurses here who they already have bridged, meaning they already have a Zimbabwean experience and are able to work in the UK or Australia while they are still here. And then we channel them. By channeling them through this system, the government can also realize taxes and the related expenses that this group of healthcare workers will provide. So I think it's just that we are currently in a dire situation whereby 14,000 posts need to be replaced. But systematically, we might actually utilize this through having our healthcare workers also employed and they are in the system rather than losing them via private employers.
So sounds pretty straightforward. What's preventing the government from doing what you just said?
I think the receiving countries, you know, are finding it easier to work with private, private healthcare workers who join on their own will other than government-to-government agreement. But I think it's possible because during our early years of independence, we used to have such arrangements where UK instructors will come and train here in Zimbabwe and people train in Zimbabwe will go and work in the UK. So I think it's more of rekindling our colonial relationship.
Thank you very much for those words. Chamunowa Mashoko, Global Health Advocate for the Research Advocacy and Counseling Trust, REACT. Also, many thanks to you, Privilege Mushanri, DW correspondent in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Staff shortages of healthcare workers have led to longer queues, delayed care, and diminished service quality, often forcing patients to seek expensive treatment in private facilities or abroad. It's not easy for the ordinary Zimbabwean.
The experience in our public hospitals is very sad, it's very dire, and needs urgent redress and reform. I have a sister who is terribly ill with cancer and kidney failure. The standards at our hospital really leaves a lot to be desired. It makes me emotional to narrate about the ordeal that I went through the past month trying to get her to have radiotherapy sessions, chemotherapy sessions. And if you do not know anyone who will be able to help you, you will not really get that much assistance. And she ended up being hospitalized the day she was admitted. The nurses were busy talking whilst we were running around with the stretcher beds. And you wouldn't see a zeal to nurse from the nurses themselves. We had to be running around on our own, trying to understand, to get things done.
As a citizen, I'm really concerned with the shortage of nurses because here in Zimbabwe, the majority of us rely on public health because we do not have medical cover. So when you hear that there's a shortage, obviously you are worried to say, should you fall sick, will you be able to be attended to? And furthermore, if there are fewer nurses or healthcare workers in the nursing industry, it means when you get there, you are faced with overworked nurses.
There is a lot of burnout. Some clinics, you find one or two nurses in a clinic with a catchment area of around 8,000. That one on its own, it really shows how ordinary Zimbabweans are suffering to get medical our services. The nurses who are there are experiencing a lot of work in hospitals where nurse-patient ratio is supposed to be 1:5, 1:7. you find the nurse patient ratio going up to 1 to 20, 1 to 30. It also gives you a picture of how poor nursing quality will be at the end.
The country's Ministry of Health and Childcare plans to fill more than 5,000 vacancies by end of 2025, committing to better pay and working conditions while investing in digital health. But analysts stress that achieving basic coverage requires recruiting nearly 10,000 workers annually until 2030. So what do you think? Share your thoughts on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.